When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hello and welcome to Maths Hysteria, a podcast all about Married at First Sight with me, Omar Abid. And before we go any further, I've got a few housekeeping notes. The first thing is, for long-time listeners, big news for us, we're going to 2 episodes a week. So this is our first Tuesday episode. And what we're going to do is hopefully have some interviews attached. And that brings us to the second point. The first interview that's going out today is with our friend Kelly Rickard, who... again, long-time listeners all know she's been on the podcast from the beginning. But after the last Australian series, we got to the final vows, as she put it, and she decided to write leave. She was sick of me. So, who's replacing it? Well, first of all, a professional wedding celebrant.
I am indeed.
Big deal on Instagram.
Very.
Oh, I don't know about that, but thank you very much. Flattery will get you everywhere.
Modest as ever.
Well, you've got about 20 times the followers that we do, so that's the only reason you're here. Featured recently in Hello Magazine.
I was, and I was shocked. I came off the beach and I had notifications. You're in Hello Magazine, and I nearly dropped my beach bucket. I couldn't believe it.
Well, let's introduce you properly. Sarah Clark.
Hi, Omar. And actually, I'm a fan of Maths Hysteria because I was listening last season and didn't dream I'd be a co-host this season. It feels...
I know, yeah.
Beautifully bizarre. Exactly, exactly.
I know, it's weird, isn't it? Because we've got mutual friends and everything.
Yeah, I know, we do. And when people hear who the second co-host is, they're going to know I'm third wheeling hard.
Well, I've given it away now.
See?
Oft mentioned, but first time heard from.
Yes.
My wife.
Love of your life.
Tweet.
Yeah,
you did the odd tweet.
You did some...
with my little emoji, so everybody knew it wasn't you.
Yeah.
In case they were rubbish.
And this needs to have visuals, because it's Claire with the good hair. She's just got beautiful hair, and I'm sitting opposite her, and I'm in hair heaven.
Well, we should shout out to Alan then.
Is that your hairdresser?
Alan Kingsman, if anybody. He's very good, he's very good.
I'm very excited to be here
yeah.
to talk about maths.
Good, yeah, I know it's gonna be fun. It's always this. You were a bit nervous though, weren't
yeah.
you?
Yeah. This is unusual for me. Because obviously you and Kelly are from a comedy background and you know, kind of used to the microphones, used to the videos and used to talking and people laughing when you talk.
I mean,
whereas non-comics perhaps are not so used to that. So we'll see.
The thing is, because I have worked pretty hard on this for the last 2 years, so don't fuck it up for me.
There's no pressure, but... Yeah. And I'm personally going to miss Kelly, because I really loved her insights. She kept you on the straight and narrow sometimes when you'd say something mean, and she's like, well...
Well, it'll be interesting, I think, to see what this new dynamic's going to be, because I imagine we're going to disagree. We've deliberately not really spoken about last night's episode
yet. I've held my tongue.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. But... No, you said you're a maths fan. What's some of the big moments for you?
Well, I was thinking back to the last season, and obviously the Aussie one is much more glamorous, much more beautiful. Everyone's on Bondi Beach. Everyone's just stunning. And there's also like, it feels that much further removed, doesn't it? Because it's in Australia. So you watch through the eyes of it being like you're watching Neighbours or something, or Home and Away. I hated, and I was screaming at the TV, do you remember Shannon?
Yeah.
And the way he spoke to Caitlin, he was an absolute villain. And I honestly was stood up screaming at the TV because I wanted to intervene. I felt so strongly about the things he was saying to her. But she stood up for herself. She was incredible. And then I was screaming at the TV like, yes, girl. Yeah. He was saying to her like, oh, if I'd been more attracted to you, maybe I would have given... You remember some of the stuff he was saying? Yeah. It was horrific. And then obviously he'd also got his ex-girlfriend pregnant so there was a lot of drama going on. So he springs to mind, as well as Dan and Sandy, where he was
Dan
like...
Dan was another villain.
He was like Ken. He was like Ken from Barbie. Beach, my job is... My job is beach. And I was like, get a personality.
The ocean is calling me.
Oh my word, get a personality.
And how dare Sandy not like the ocean?
She was
how
amazing.
How could they possibly get along?
I loved her. She was such a quality human being. She made him look like cardboard.
Yeah. Mm. She did a really good job with him as well, I think, in terms of like standing her ground, putting her boundaries in, saying what he was like, and making sure she was heard on that. I think she did a really good job.
We actually find... Because we didn't watch the last two episodes of that series because we went on our honeymoon.
How rude.
How priorities wrong.
And as a listener of Maths, I was like, well, excuse me. Where are my last two episodes on my walk?
So we ended up watching them just fairly recently. Yeah. And it was...
It was interesting.
It was. It's odd when you're into it for 3 months and then... You have a few months off and come back to it, you're like, God, it's hard to have the level of emotion. You get so invested.
Totally. And even when I said there about Caitlin and Shannon, I had to Google their names on the way here because I was like, I wanted to talk about him, but I could not for the life of me remember his name. And you're so invested for like two or three months and then these people mean nothing to you. And you could almost see a picture and try and remind yourself, oh, was that person a goodie or a villain? Because you know you recognise them, but you can't quite remember what emotions they brought up in you.
You must remember them for a reason, but you can't get a hold of the reason. But you and Kelly did that one episode. That was quite good fun, actually. Right, who do you remember from series whatever?
And she was struggling
trying to come up with the names. It's like, they're so far removed by that point. I quite liked watching it after a break because it meant that you were kind of a bit fresh, but everything that they'd been through had come back, but you weren't sort of oversaturated with maths. Because I think
can you get oversaturated?
Well, we're
going
to find out.
Because 2 weeks episodes.
This time it's viewing podcast 2 weeks
Bloody
episodes,
hell.
So we'll find out if you can get too saturated.
It should be much easier to remember people's names though, because E4 are very kindly sent us a jigsaw for us to predict our matches. And we're going to try and have more visual stuff with the podcast this year as well, so people will be able to see that behind Claire. I've put the four matches that we know from last night's episodes at the top. Mm-hmm. I mean, two of them are coming up tonight, Tuesday night's episodes, but we can have a chat about the...
So if you're listening to this and you don't have visuals, we've got everyone's pictures up on a board and we're looking at who we already know.
Yes.
So we know four of the couples.
Did you... Who...
I
do
made
you remember
a correct,
who you matched
I
with
made
who?
A correct prediction, which was
so
Luke.
Happy it was the first thing said. I was like, no,
Omar,
honestly,
I got
no
one right.
Gives a shit.
Omar opened the door. It was pouring with rain. I had my anorak over my head and I was like, I got one right. Luke and Jay.
That was a good call.
Who I didn't know what a solid bloke he was when I made that prediction.
Yeah.
And having, I mean, spoiler alert, having watched last night's, really, really liked those two.
They're off to a good
start.
So
what I was going to say coming into this was, we all know, we've all been maths fans for ages, and hopefully people listening have been as well. Maths UK has taken a huge turn in terms of going from genuine legal marriages to it being more symbolic. You know, they don't get legally married now. They're being real people from the street. They feel like really normal people, how it used to be, and there weren't the dinner parties and there weren't the interlopers coming in, and it was much more plain. And now it feels, it has the risk of feeling pantomimey. Mm-hmm. And when I saw all the publicity for this season, I thought, oh gosh, these people look like such caricatures. Mm. And actually last night I was pleasantly surprised because they were real flawed human beings who are much more lovable. When you heard them speak to camera and saw, you know, Laura losing her dad or Luke having his relationship broke up, I was like, I actually feel much more warmly towards these people than I thought I might.
I think that.
I was like, no!
Well, it's hard because you can't make any rash judgments, really, which...
But you do. Everybody
absolutely
does.
We're about to. I mean, we're going to talk about Laura soon enough. And, you know, of course, talking about the Australian series, I always try and bear Melinda in mind because everyone hated her.
Oh, my gosh.
The first
at the wedding.
She came across. Yeah, and she was reminding me of Melinda, Laura, my husband is a Maths fan. Shout out to Johnny.
Love to get him on.
He very sweetly watches it all with me, which is good because otherwise it's like 48 hours of your life that you have to spend apart, isn't it? Because it's such a commitment. And he was reminded of Melinda, with Laura's sort of turning her nose up at him without knowing anything about him and being quite snobby.
Yeah. But also, we were reminded of Morag, weren't we? Because Laura basically did a Morag when Morag said, I didn't get what I ordered.
Yes.
Laura said something very... the brief was not met, or what
just
was
from
it?
The voice, just from his not having a Chelsea voice.
But her words were something like, very specific criteria were not met. So that is basically, I didn't get what I ordered. So there's a Morag similarity there.
Don't you want to bang your head against a wall when you're like, you signed up for this show because presumably you trust the experts to do a better job than you've done. You're freshly divorced and you think that you want to go for the same type?
Yeah.
Are you mad?
I know. But there's a defence that kicks in then, isn't there? Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, how vulnerable must you feel as an individual person standing in front of somebody you've never met? And all of their friends and family, all of your friends and family, and like the country.
Yeah.
Seeing you in that moment, the defences are going to kick in, aren't they? They can't not.
And I guess there's not much.
And that is no.
Yeah. And there's not much to go on. You'll just see face and hear voice. So I guess when she hears the voice, and bless him, I loved his backstory. I don't speak fluent Polish. So for him to speak, like, for him to be bilingual, I think that's really attractive and noble, whatever, that he's, you know, pulled himself up. And he's, and also I thought she'd like tennis coach because that sounds quite posh to me.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well.
Yeah, it and does, doesn't it? Professional
that,
tennis
yeah,
coach.
Yeah, I was like, sounds like the sort of guy in like whites that she'd like.
Well, it's interesting when you said about the maths taking a turn, because you mentioned last night, Claire, that the diversity, a big thing in diversity this year, they seem to be making a point of the class divide.
Mm.
They're really hammering home that this person is rich.
And consummate the marriage over here in the stag do. Bless him.
Yeah.
And they're all like pissing themselves.
Yeah, because Paul did an Instagram post that I put on our stories just saying this cast of maths is the most diverse that we've had. And yeah, so I was wondering, right, okay, so what are the diversities that we've got going on?
Mm-hmm.
And I think there is, perhaps that class, if we want to call it that, element coming through. And obviously we've got kind of Jay, who's got a lovely broad northern accent, which I'm on board with.
Gorgeous.
But then we've got Laura, who's, they're putting across as very made in Chelsea.
But she, can I be a bitch? Because I don't even think she's that posh.
She doesn't seem that posh.
I feel like she likes to hang out in Chelsea.
What makes you think she's not that posh?
I don't know. I got a sense of like wanting to fit in Chelsea, but that's maybe not where she, I mean, I don't know or care, but it's, I don't know. I just got the sense that she was aspiring to meet a really rich guy, and so she was choosing to hang out in those sort of places meet those sort of guys. But I didn't get the sense that she was like had a family home in St. Bart's and went skiing every Christmas. I, you know, not that that's a nice thing to have, but I don't know. I got the sense that she was
it's pretty fucking nice. Isn't it? I remember you took Made in Chelsea in St. Bart's. Spencer from Made in Chelsea once just asking a girl out. It was like the second time he'd date, on a second date or something. He was like, actually, it was my family were thinking of having some people over for Christmas if you'd like to come. It's like, oh yeah, maybe. Where
is it?
It's like, oh, just our hotel that we own in St. Bart's.
She's like, okay.
Wow. Yeah.
No, I got the sense with her that it was wanting to land the right sort of guy to maybe concrete that lifestyle.
Yeah. So maybe her and Arthur are quite similar in that way.
Possibly.
Because he hasn't grown up with that kind of Chelsea Mayfair.
I might be wrong. I got, you know, when they did the B-roll and it was like them eating oysters and it just seemed a bit forced. It didn't seem like, I'm not sure.
But that's awkward, isn't it? Like you said last night when they showed Jay at her work and she just, he said,
talking about sales.
Yeah, so, sales.
Best way to start a sales meeting. That was really
You know, the jobs that you guys have all done for years, selling shit.
Let's talk about it.
Oh my gosh, I'm glad you noticed that.
That was really funny.
Well, let's go back to the beginning now. Stag and Hens. Because there we got a little glimpse of everyone. Again, it's hard to tell. Even the people where we got to see their weddings, it's just the first time we've seen them. But did anyone stand out to you that you think is going to be a big hero, big villain?
I got, Roshona, she came across as quite woo-woo because she was saying, like, she loves him already. Like, I already love him. And bless her, like, I can be woo-woo myself. So I was like, she's really all in, which is commendable. But also the other girls were eye-rolling to, like, into their skulls, weren't they?
Well, she maybe should have been with Arthur then. Because he loves you.
Well, he read on the internet. He read on the internet that you say, I love you. There was no feeling behind it. It was just like... And also... I saw your tweet, like, I didn't expect him, sorry, I'm jumping ahead, to actually say I love you, because he wasn't getting that vibe off her.
And he looked around
as if he was thinking about it.
It's like he was pranking.
And he still did it.
I know, I thought he was going to wink at the camera and be like, I did it, because it felt, anyway, back to the stag and hen. Well, there's a lot of bravado in the room, isn't there?
Yes.
From both sides, and there's a lot of nervous energy. Like, I'm looking behind you at the board, and Tasha, bottom right, she was the one, I think, as everybody was coming in, she was whooping and and I could tell she was nervous, but she was leaning into the sort of peacocking, like being the hype girl, which, you know, you need a hype girl. I really fell in love a bit with Ella when she came in and she got emotional straight away.
The family talk and
I thought when she got emotional about family we were going to hear a horrible sob story about being like discluded or something, like alienated from her family, and actually it was really sweet when they cut to the family, it was all hugs,
accepting of her and who she is. And
it's interesting though, do you think though that it's sort of a bit odd to be like, I am going to tell you but I'm not going to tell you yet, so let's just move. But then, you know, or is it better that she wants to talk with her husband first?
I get that. I think that is a kind of respectable stance to take, but it is understandably going to leave the other girls wondering about, okay, so what is it? Because it can't, they can't help but think that way.
You know that like classic Facebook thing of like, having a bad day, nobody asked me, babes. And then it's like, what's wrong, babes?
Okay,
I can't say, babes. I didn't get that vibe. I got more. She was overcome with a little bit of emotion, tried to rein it in, said, I've got something I want to tell you guys, but I can't yet. And I didn't feel like it was done for the, like,
for the drama of it.
No, I didn't quite feel that. I felt, and I got the same vibe as you. Maybe I'm naive. I thought it seemed quite respectful to the future spouse of being like, obviously I can't tell you guys before I tell them. So I was getting really good vibes from her.
And I guess it was confirmed. I think, did you both make the prediction she'd be matched with Nathaniel?
Yes.
He was saying he was very open.
I was relieved. Yes. I was relieved when he was basically outing himself as bi, because it feels like a much more natural match than I've seen some publicity around saying, who's Ella going to be paired with? And is that person going to be put on the spot of how open are they to, you know, everyone listening will know by now that Ella is trans.
Yeah.
So it seems like a lovely match if he's, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because we follow him on Instagram now. And so, like to look at people's stories and all that. And he put something on about being pansexual and just kind of.
Oh, okay.
Being
so, not even by.
Attracted
right,
to,
pan. Okay.
You know, loving who you love, that kind of thing.
Cool.
So they seem like, you know, at this point, like there could be a good match, but we don't know much about them personality wise yet, do we? So that's going to be interesting to find out, you know, more about who they are.
And we've come a long way. I don't know if you guys remember a reality show called There's Something About Miriam.
Yes, we were talking about this, weren't we?
Bloody hell. And that was just such a toxic, problematic time in the noughties.
Yeah.
And I had an element of fear that Ella was going to be made to be other, and it doesn't feel like it's going to be like that. So I think I just took a deep breath and was like, oh, okay.
No.
Exhale on that one.
Nathaniel's pansexual. We'll see how this goes.
Yeah. Well, I think what we should do is we'll come back to them because they were in the come in the next episode things. We'll talk about them a little more later and what we're expecting from their matches.
Yeah.
But let's bore down into some of the weddings that we did see. So, we just decided, while you were listening to some music, well, Sarah said, let's start with Arthur and Laura, so we can start on a negative and end on a positive.
I'm hoping that, yeah, it feels nicer to get them out of the way. Yeah, like you said before, Melissa vibes at the altar. Melinda. Melinda vibes at the altar.
Yeah.
I mean, the producers are obviously editing her to be a diva and unlikable, because the things we've been shown aren't that likable.
Yeah, but this is the classic thing. You can't edit someone to say, people say I'm high maintenance, but they're just not very good at maintaining me.
I guess there's a defensiveness there.
Yeah, and how much of that is a little bit tongue-in-cheek for her as well?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to have to amp up certain parts of their personalities, aren't they? And I don't know, I think we might grow to like her like we did Melinda.
Melissa.
Melinda. Who was it again? Melinda. I think we might grow to like her because she has got that kind of backstory that she was open with and a bit vulnerable about.
She shared two vulnerable things, didn't she? Because her marriage broke down.
In lockdown, which must have been tough.
And did you notice when they were grilling each other of like, question, question, answer, answer, when it was turned on her, she got quite embarrassed because she'd been asking him a few questions and he said, oh, how long did your marriage last? And when she said 10 months, you could see that she really didn't want to reveal anything negative about herself.
Yeah.
I did feel for her in that moment.
I was going to ask this. What do you think happened? What changed after 4 years of being together? What kind of pressure did being married put on them?
Well, it was the pandemic, wasn't it? That's kind of what she said. It was the lockdowns.
Just what, spending all the time together?
Yeah, well, they had this lifestyle of going out. They were going to restaurants. They were going to bars. Without
the frills.
Yeah. Just the two of them in the house. Nowhere to go. You can't see anyone. You've literally just got each other.
Of heaven.
Well, that's cute.
Oh, we did quite well, didn't we?
You love your wife.
Oh, right. I just meant staying and watching telly.
You meant no external pressures. I can just watch telly. It's like free permission to just watch telly.
I wonder, there's probably lots of couples that happened to. Who
I think, yeah. Must have been difficult.
You suddenly can't escape the issues that you've maybe been dancing around or you haven't really, like, you've subconsciously noticed but not consciously noticed. Like, we're not actually that good. If you take away the restaurants and the holidays, what was there actually, like, what's the raw stuff that's left?
Yeah. Take away your family, take away your friends, like, jobs. Jobs, working from home.
So in some ways you can see how quickly it would disintegrate. Credit to her, she's taking it seriously because she did say this, I mean, I don't know if she'll stick to it, this is my last time getting married.
That's a bit of a mad gamble to do with your last.
It's a massive thing to say and then turn your nose up at the guy you're put with. Because you're saying, I don't believe her that this is the last time she'll get married because, you know, she's got her whole life ahead of her. And if she doesn't like Arthur, is she really going to be a nun after this?
But even if she does like Arthur, they may want to actually get married.
Yeah.
So, you know,
true.
She may get married again to Arthur.
True.
Right,
or somebody else, who knows.
But,
you know.
I think when I was being lazy with stereotypes, I thought maybe she'd be put with Thomas, who's the posh one who said, I wasn't let into the club because of my voice.
George. Yeah. He's, what do we know about him? We know he's a bit, not Chelsea.
I don't know much about him at all. I don't think they showed him much. Mind you, there's a few we haven't really seen.
Yes, there are.
But Thomas, all we know is he's got a posh voice, but I don't think she would have fancied him anyway. I think he's slightly less masculine than she would go for.
I think he's too young for her as well.
Bit younger.
Mm.
True. He's 27. We only know these details because I'm looking at the jigsaw buying Claire.
How old are they?
I haven't learnt their ages by rote.
No. I'm sure we will eventually.
To be honest, I'm not sure who she would have given her full approval to. Is she the sort of person who has her walls up anyway? And if there'd been some gorgeous guy at the altar with a deep Chelsea voice, would she still have found fault?
Yeah, exactly. This is why, as much as I enjoyed tweeting shit about her, I'm very
you
aware.
Troll.
Yeah,
you're such a horrible troll.
Well, I'm
hashtag
very...
be kind.
Oh god, that's that didn't continue long, did it? That lasted about a day. I'm very aware that there's obviously much more to her than just than what we've been shown. It's one episode.
And actually, by the end of their wedding, they had a bit of a conversation, didn't they?
Yeah.
Seemed to kind of find a connection a bit. And then when they got in the car,
they lent them for a kiss. I couldn't. I was like so, shooketh.
Yeah.
But we had the best man to thank for her softening.
His speech.
His speech was lovely. And I don't know if it was edited down, but it was really short, really sweet. And it just gave a little bit of backstory. And I mean.
Well, to be fair, he owed Arthur one for not stopping him from saying, I love you. Why didn't he why did he go, I'll just see how it goes?
Yeah.
What the fuck are you talking
but
about?
But they both sniggered on the sofa as if it was the stupidest thing in the world and then said, go with it. And I'm like, that is not good advice.
No, that is a mixed message, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, his young brother, who's just like absolutely pissing himself.
His young brother with the fringe.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know why they didn't stop him, because that felt like a bit of a nail in the coffin already, like day one.
Yeah.
Would it really put you off about him getting his vows from the internet?
No.
I don't think it would, because I can understand that anxiety around the public speaking. And I mean, I was not going to do a speech at our wedding. Absolutely no way. Mm. So a
couple of drinks, so we couldn't stop you.
There's no video evidence of that. But to have to stand there, know that you're being filmed, know that it's going to go out on telly, I can understand the internet as a starting point.
Mm-hmm.
You maybe should have gone from there, personalised it a bit more.
Maybe.
But, you know, you start there, it's a scaffold.
Imagine if you
kind of just went, I'll just print that out, it's fine.
Imagine if you read the, like, www.weddingvow. I wouldn't have taken it personally because we hadn't met. But if my husband, who knew me for 2 years at our wedding, had printed his vows up from the internet and read them without changing the thing, I'd be like, well, you know me and you love me. Is there nothing you can add?
Yes.
But because... But I think if I was Laura, and especially if I knew... It's his second language, and he's nervous, and he hasn't even met me. I'd be fine with it, because what can you add? You don't know the person.
Yeah.
I mean, conversely, she was giving him a drinks order.
Hers was hers.
Oh, yeah, the oat milk latte.
Oat milk latte.
Don't talk to me before.
Yeah.
I think, again, maybe it was her delivery.
I think
it could have been funny.
Later
it could have been funny, but
later
it was very aggressive. It wasn't.
When she was saying, like, yeah, my vows were funny, but there was details. They weren't funny. Your delivery was just, they were a series of threats. Yes. Like,
yeah, they were. They were a series of threats.
But again, she put, I don't recall them, so this is probably redundant, really. But she put the rest of her vows on her Instagram stories and said there was a lot cut out.
Oh, really?
So that was quite interesting.
Oh, behind the scenes.
I mean, I didn't really take them in, but you know.
Yeah.
It was there.
I guess if she spent hours like honing hers, she might be annoyed, but nobody asked her to. Well, maybe the producers asked her to, I don't know. And Arthur's just saved himself a day's work.
Yeah.
I haven't written those two off. And I think when he leaned over, I mean, call me a sap, but when he leaned over and kissed her in the car, I was like, I'd find that attractive, because it's taking control and it's showing affection. As long as you're not a Spanish football coach being kissed without being kissed without your permission. I think it seemed like there was hope there. Seemed like she lent into it.
Yeah.
And she softened during the best man speech.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, I suspect it's going to be very up and down.
Yes.
Like,
I'll tell you what as well, his family seemed sweet, like his mum.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's from good stock. Is that a weird thing to say? He's from a supportive family.
And we didn't meet, I know she lost her dad, but we didn't meet other family members of Laura's, did
we met
actually?
Her dog.
Just her friends. Oh,
we met a friend
Bear.
Who could,
we met Bear.
A mate who couldn't wait to get up from the table and run and tell her about the internet.
The internet.
No.
She was straight
that reminded me of when Bronte's friend, I'm doing in quotes, ran and said, like, he's been shagging some young girl.
You've got a 21-year-old on the outside.
On the outside.
I think they just get their bit of TV time, don't they? Yeah. I haven't written off Arthur and Laura.
No.
I think she'll like if he takes control and reveals more of himself and, like, changes his entire voice and personality.
I think as we get to know her, we'll like her a bit more as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about Luke and Jay. What do we think? Match? Good match? I think we're on board.
Yeah, but I wonder, are they more friends?
I wonder, as time goes on, we might get a friend vibe,
mm-hmm.
I think.
So I am a sap and I love them. But do you know who I was reminded of in my dark moments? I was reminded of, I'm going to get the names wrong, Cam and Lyndall. So hear me out. Jay and Luke were the first wedding we saw, episode one. If you go back to Maths Australia, and I don't know why I remember this, Cam and Lyndall were the first wedding we saw, episode one.
Yes.
She had a an illness that she talked about and was almost like hesitant to reveal. Jay has a disability that she was hesitant to reveal. Mm-hmm. I saw some similarities there. And I loved Cam and Lyndall at first. I thought they were amazing together. And I had all the hopes in the world. And they ended up being the biggest shit show. And he was, yeah, was awful to her. It was a total crash and burn. What I hope is Luke and Jay won't follow that trajectory. I really, really liked them. And I thought, I have to come back to his face when she sang. His eyes were sparkling. When she
you were on board with the singing. Well, you were the opposite with the singing. You just, were cringe. Yeah.
I mean, cringe. I wouldn't. Bless her. I mean, I think she was great. But his face was in awe of her. And I feel like there's answers he could have given. You know, when the sister was like, but do you fancy her? Do you fancy her? Mm. And he said, she's beautiful. She blew me away. I think he was being genuine. Because if you didn't fancy someone, you could be like, oh no, she seems great. Or
I don't know her yet.
Exactly. Yeah. There's loads of get out of jail cards with that question.
Mm-hmm. It was very insincere, I think.
And I think she's gorgeous.
No.
It was sincere.
Oh, maybe that's it.
Oh, your true self.
No, I thought it was very sincere when he was talking to the sister. So I think we can believe Luke from what we've seen.
And
so
also
far.
She's
we're going to like him.
She's quite dazzling. She has her gorgeous hair, gorgeous smile. I think she's really...
She's very warm.
She's warm, but also when she was on her wedding day, I said to my husband, she almost looked like one of those 1950s pin-ups with the hair pulled back and the like curls and her tattoos. And I was like, she is gorgeous. And so it's not unbelievable that he would fancy her. She's beautiful.
Yeah.
So I have hope there because of how he gave such a genuine sounding response.
Yeah, but they're both nice people being nice.
Mm. And oh my, you are so dead inside.
Just not on board with niceness.
we'll see, but I'm just not as... I want it to work, of course, but, you know. And I just think the choice of song, you know, from one of the most depressing films I've ever seen.
I know.
Oh, I know.
And then I was in tears. You would... Honestly, Omar, you'd think I was such a wet wipe if you saw me last night on the sofa crying to their love story. I think... I have high hopes for them. I think they both seem to have come together at a point in life when they're ready, like genuinely ready for it. Him having been in an eight-year relationship and wanting to be committed to somebody. Her feeling like she gets overlooked.
Yeah.
And, you know, like the magic ingredients of a good relationship is you both feel lucky to be with the other person. You feel like you're punching them and they feel like they're punching. I sort of hoped that for them, where she was like, oh, but he's so good looking, why would he think I was pretty? And then the things he was saying about her, he seemed like in awe of her, almost like her essence and her singing and her personality.
It's a lot to do with the humor they both said as well, didn't they? Like, they both want to be able to have a laugh together, to be with somebody who's funny. So they've both definitely got that. I think they could be a good match, but I just wonder if the friendship will continue and maybe the attraction won't. So I wonder if they might get to that point.
Yeah.
But even if they don't, I think it's going to be a very kind of amicable sort of journey together. I don't think there's going to be ups and downs, dramas, fallings out, stuff like that. So I think they'll have kind of quite a connection. But whether it'll be a romantic one or not.
I really hope it is.
I know.
I really like her.
And I hope he doesn't turn out to be like Cam.
No, honestly, I hated Cam by the end.
I don't think, from what we know now, I don't think Luke has that in him.
And there was such like a lovely protectiveness from her side of the family, you know, from her friends and sister.
Yeah. They do not know how to pour a glass of Prosecco though.
That was so funny. Straight in.
Tilt the fucking glass. Jesus Christ. Thanks for my glass of foam.
Yeah. Oh my God.
But we didn't meet mum and dad, did we? Jay's mum and dad.
No, that's true.
There were a lot of parents. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but was this film last year? Because COVID was sort of done and dusted by then. Well, not done and dusted, but there seemed to be really small weddings, almost nobody there, lots of parents missing. Mm. I don't know.
Mm. I quite liked the size of the weddings. Because I think when you're filming a wedding in that way, big weddings, there's almost too many people to kind of get you hold of, see who they are. So I liked that they were smaller.
You kept seeing noticing the redhaired girl who was having a
fright. She was loving her life at that wedding, wasn't she?
She was high
so
vibes.
On board.
She was.
So I don't know if she was a close friend, a family member in some way, but I didn't see Jay's mum or dad or parents?
I can't remember if we met them at all. And also, did you notice we didn't really see the like break it to your family on a picnic bench that you're getting married to a stranger?
That's
because
right.
Everybody knows maths now.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So that's not like, mum, dad, I have some
Guess
news.
What's happening?
I'm getting married. What's his name? I don't know. What? Like, there was none of that because I think even like the boomers have been watching it.
And Thomas's mum Thomas's mum calling him a knobhead.
Yeah. No, you're not.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. Maybe we will get some of those moments if they're worth it.
Maybe. With more traditional parents who maybe don't watch much TV.
Yeah, because I was going to go back further in the maths history, but remember Taya? Adam and Taya.
Uh-huh.
Remember her mum?
Oh, yeah.
Her mum was not on board with that.
Are they the ones who are still together?
Yeah.
Yeah,
got
have a baby.
Got a daughter, I think.
Oh, well, she's on board now.
Yeah, she's on board.
Grandma duties.
Sure. Yeah. That was interesting. It can be. I like the parents' reaction sometimes. But yeah, maybe they've scrapped that because
everybody knows the premise now.
Yeah.
Well, I hope it's going to be the longest series of Maths UK. So I hope they're going to add in a bit more homestays. Homestays are always
You can
always
imagine,
good.
Mum, I've got news. And they're like, right, you're going to be on Love is Blind or Maths. Which one are you on?
Love Island.
Love Island.
One of my favourite bits was Luke and Morag when he went to meet her mates, and there was one who was just absolutely shit faced. Yeah.
I'm trying to remember.
I think I vaguely do remember her.
This is why you're the king of maths, because you have this encyclopedic knowledge
of
all previous.
Such a good memory.
I feel quite blank.
Okay.
I don't want you to end on I feel quite blank.
Cue the music.
So we've seen the next two couples who are going to be on tonight. Oh my gosh, we get more maths. I was like, next week? No, tonight, in a few hours. So we know Nathaniel and Ella.
Mm-hmm.
And we know Thomas and Roz. Don't feel like we know loads about Thomas and Roz yet, but Nathaniel and Ella, we know a little bit. Mm. We saw some from the stag and hen.
Yeah.
Well, what we saw of Thomas and Roz was just very awkward, wasn't it?
Oh, yes. Don't drop me.
Stiff as a board.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, the preview. We did.
And she did say, didn't she? It was just so awkward.
Oh, dear. I won't drop you.
Yeah. Does he drop out?
I don't know. I mean, she's tiny. Hopefully not. Yeah.
I was getting kind of Rupert vibes.
God love him. Rupert.
Do you think Thomas is going to be able to talk at the altar? Rupert couldn't do that,
could he? Imagine Rupert now seeing her with Duncan. Like action man. Anyway, cut back to this season. I think it'll be an interesting one tonight. I think, do you notice sometimes they pair, well, you obviously would have, they sometimes pair the more dramatic couple with a slightly more paired down, you know, so you get a little bit of both.
Well, yeah.
It's like you said about the first episode, every
hero
series,
villain.
Yeah, they have one that's a car crash, one that's a love story.
Exactly.
And it doesn't necessarily always turn out like that, but it gets you hooked in.
It's
the two flavours of maths.
You've
got to have some contrast.
Yeah.
Some light and shade.
Yeah, and actually we might think one with tonight's Nathaniel and Ella, we might be expecting that to be the car crash, and that could be lovely.
Mm.
It could be lovely. I think, like you said earlier, I hope, because of a transgender background, you want it to work, just because inevitably she's going to be a source for discussion rather than in a way that other people wouldn't. And it's already sort of come up on in the way that the program's been made, because there's been false reports that the groom, it would have been sort of sprung on him that he was marrying someone transgender, but during the application process he would have expressed that he is open to that. You don't just rock up and you get what you're given. It's like you have a set of parameters.
It's almost like the public have lost their faith in how the experts pair people, because it has become so like dinner party focused and drama focused.
Yeah.
But actually, presumably the process is still the same of like trying to genuinely pair people based on psychological tests, psychometry. presumably there's still a lot done.
Who's got psychosis?
Yeah, presumably enough questions are asked that it's...
Yeah,
they want
so.
These matches to work as much as they want them to fail. No, that's maybe they want them to work more than they want them to fail.
Yeah, I think so, because as viewers, you've got to get invested in some of the couples.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to. So if they were all paired for drama, we wouldn't get invested
in them. It'd be chaotic.
And their relationship. And we'd get bored very easily.
Yeah.
So I do think they do a thorough job. I mean, you've had the experts on the podcast before.
Yeah,
you've spoken to them. And, you know, they talk about wanting to match people for genuine relationships.
Especially talking to Paul. He'll say, you know, I worked on series 5, which was, like you mentioned earlier, it was a much more straightforward, sort of less dramatic process that they went through, but no one really watched it, which is a shame, I think, because I really enjoyed
that
series.
I know,
but it does. I also enjoy the drama. So he's saying they're always trying to find that balance. I do think though that they've, because it's been reported since it was initially reported that the groom would have no clue that his bride might be transgender. That was refuted, and then it's been revealed that they did tell him before the ceremony that although he's pansexual, he would have been open to anyone, actually your bride is going to be transgender. Now I don't know if they should have done that.
I thought it was going to be a big reveal from Ella because she's been nervous about it.
This is it. So it makes it seem like all the stuff we're going to see tonight is not necessarily they've had a heads up, which I can understand the production doing because they want to protect the people in the process.
Yeah.
And so it's come from a good place.
Yeah.
Although it does break the format, which, you know, I'd rather they're looking after people than worrying about the format. I just sort of wonder, though, you know, like, if Nathaniel said, I'm pansexual, then that's job done. I don't know if it needs any more.
That's why I'm quite surprised, to be honest, because he is stating his own like sexual preferences and she fits within that.
Yeah.
So I'm quite surprised that they feel the need to footnote it.
Yeah, you wouldn't have gone up to Adrian or Thomas last year before the ceremony.
You're definitely gay.
Yeah, exactly. Now you are
gay. You know it's going to be a man,
there's
don't
a,
you?
A bloody fella up there waiting for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
But, you know, like I say, if it is a mistake, it's a mistake that it's just going to get people who are probably going to be aggy on Twitter anyway, whatever you do.
Yeah.
I'd rather they make the mistake where they're looking after people.
Yeah. And is it the kind of extra caution is being taken in their approach because Ella is the first trans person that they've ever had on the show?
Yeah.
So it's that thing of, okay, we haven't done this before.
Let's try carefully.
Maybe they're just being too kind of over cautious almost.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know Nathaniel yet, but potentially they do. And maybe they kind of could have had a bit more faith in him to be okay with it. I don't know.
Well, we'll find out tonight. I'm excited to see their match. I also think Ella had a really warm reaction from all the other girls and was immediately part of the group. So it'll be really lovely for them to find out and already have her part of the girl gang. You know, there was that immediate... there was an immediate like rapport among them all. And Ella was like, oh, me and Peggy are lookalikes when Peggy came in. And they were really like concerned when she was crying. It seems like a sweet group. I mean, oh, I'm so naive. I'm like, they're all lovely.
Imagine they're all best friends.
So is that going to be... That's a lot of pressure, though, because she's probably going to have to tell them at their first dinner party, I guess, when they all meet after the honeymoons.
Yeah, because they don't see each other, do they, until then?
I guess when they see who she's been paired with and he is openly open to everyone, you know, maybe everyone will just accept it and it'll be great.
Yeah. I mean, well, I'd imagine.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Maybe it won't be an issue.
Yeah.
Because it's interesting that, isn't it? You wonder about the discussions they'll have in terms of him sharing that with the grooms as well, because they do that grooms at what, forgot what they used to call them.
Boys night,
girls night. It's that
really,
obvious.
Really
struggle
to think of that now.
Yeah, I know.
Because it's really unusual.
Which is the Australian.
Yeah.
Stag, isn't it? Anyway, so that's it's interesting to think about, you know, is he going to tell the guys? How's it going to...
And actually, as the series goes on, there's going to be bigger secrets, aren't there? This is going to be the biggest reveal. There's going to be some...
I mean, we've spoken about how much... I hope it doesn't all just become about her gender. Because it's like, that's just part of who she is, isn't it?
Yeah.
We just want to hopefully see how they get along. And
totally.
You know, it's something that I imagine... I imagine they'll focus on initially sort of like the vegan thing with Zoe and Jen.
Oh my word. Oh, that was hammered to death.
It was.
It makes you wonder if you went on the show what your thing would be.
Yeah.
Like, she's so annoying. And just, you know, what would they keep driving home? Or how would you be edited?
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
It'd be horrible. I mean, Omar, you have the power of the edit here. Mm-hmm. You can just edit me and Kirsten and be like, edit us. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and you don't make any points. It's just your voice.
Yes, Omar, I agree with you.
King Omar.
I'm just going to keep putting that bit in earlier where you said, I'm such a cow.
I'm such a cow. This feels quite freeing being on here. You forget people are actually going to be listening.
Okay, so that was a good first episode. Lots to talk about. Looking forward to tonight. So if you've enjoyed this, you can follow all the live tweets at Maths Hysteria on Twitter. There's loads of stuff on Instagram also at Maths Hysteria. So for now, goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me, Sarah Clark.
Goodbye from me. I'll say if I were Claire Limerabit. Not used to saying that yet.
Also, join us on Friday for our next episode. Until then, I love you.
1 we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to Maths Hysteria, a podcast all about Married at First Sight. And for the last time, it's me, Kelly Rickard, with my friend, Omar Abid. Hello.
Hiya.
This is the last time we're doing this.
I know, yeah. Oh, that reminds me. I've got something for you as well, actually. Because we were going to do this in person. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. To be honest, I had imagined this happening in person with lots of alcohol and exchanging of gifts and hugs.
Well, it's summer holidays, isn't it? So
I know. You've got a dog. I've got children. I'm in Wales. You're in the northeast of England. It was all against us, Omar, today.
I know, the last one. What's happening?
Well, I know. I actually feel very sad about it, but I just, yeah, because if it was down to enjoyment and interest and only that, then I would do this forever because I love our chats and I love what we've achieved with the podcast. Well, what you've achieved and what I've ridden on the coattails of. But I just can't. Do you know what? There was 1 week where we were doing the podcast on a Friday and I had to stay up through the night on the Thursday to get all the episodes watched because I had so much work at the theatre. And I just thought, this isn't feasible. I can't go on like this. So it's not the podcast, it's trying to fit in 4 episodes a week of reality TV with a job and gigs and children. But I do feel sad about it.
Yeah, it is sad, but it's totally understandable. I mean, you told me a couple of days after we'd finished our last series, the Australian one, in which finished in May, something like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I wasn't surprised because behind the scenes of the podcast, the number of messages we exchange about, is this date good? Oh no, I was wrong. I can't do that date. Not just on your side, on my side as well. You know, and then especially the industry that you're getting more successful in with the workshops you lead and everything. A lot of that seems to happen quite short notice. So it's hard to plan, isn't it?
Short notice, yeah. And gigs can be really short notice. And yeah, it's a bit tough trying to balance it all, actually. It's going to annoy me, though, it is, because I know it's going to continue to be a huge success. And I'm going to be listening, thinking, oh, I want to join in with this conversation and I can't. But yeah.
Yeah, you're banned.
I know. So tell me, so I don't know what your plan is. Who is my replacement?
Well, what I'm planning to do is, because for full disclosure for the people listening, we're recording this before the new series of Married at First Sight has started, because I wanted this to be part of our first episode to explain to people who've been listening from the beginning why you've abandoned them.
I'm sorry, I love you all.
You love so... No, that's not true. Don't love all of them.
No, I don't. That was a total lie. Some of you are awful, horrible humans.
Is it the men? It's mostly the men, isn't it?
Men.
Yeah. So what we're doing is that we have a professional wedding celebrant who is also a friend of ours, Sarah Clark, who's going to be one of the co-hosts. And, you know, she's a big Married at First Sight fan. We've already met a few times and chatted about it just to see what the, as she put it, if it's a vibe match.
Yeah.
Which is the kind of thing I guess she does, because being a wedding celebrant, she meets couples all the time and just can see if there's, you know, something that they'll...
That's perfect. She can probably pick up on which couples she thinks will last and which ones won't.
Yeah, and, you know, she's got been to a lot of weddings. But then also, we're going to have three people for the first time since our very first series. The third person is going to be the oft spoken about, yet to be heard or seen, Claire.
Yay! Yay, is she excited?
She's a bit worried. I think she's worried about that, that she'll freeze, that she won't be comfortable talking about it, that she's going to ruin something which has gradually gotten bigger and bigger over the last few years that I've been working on it. And I've told her, yeah, don't fuck it up for me. No, she'll be really good, because I've just told her, like, it's nothing, you know, we talk about the difficulties of doing this, but actually the easy bit is just sitting and talking about Married at First Sight.
That's the lovely bit, and that's the bit that you and Claire already do.
Exactly. So it's just said, just the stuff you say on the when we're watching it on the settee, just say that, but maybe take out some of the anti-Semitism, you know, that's... Yeah, going back to your reasons for packing it in, I totally get it, because on the surface of things, it sounds easy, doesn't it? It's just, yeah, you watch Married at First Sight, you record the podcast, and that's kind of it. But that's actually turns out to be a lot. Even just watching the programmes, like you said, an hour and a half every night, and especially when you've got kids.
But also, Omar, it depends what sort of children you have, because I have heard of these children where you put them in bed and you say goodnight and that's it. You don't see them until the following morning. I don't have those. I have mini Nick and mini Kelly, so great crack, but they don't stay in the bedroom. They're not quiet. They're wild. They're feral. it's really, really, me and Nick don't get to sit down and watch TV together like I thought we would. I thought when we have children, I'll be super busy all day. I'll be working really hard to be an amazing mother. Then I'll put them to bed and Nick and me will open a bottle of wine and we'll watch TV, and that is yet to happen.
And especially that when you told me that you were going to step away, one of the things that I thought definitely must have made it harder was that it's not the kind of thing Nick wants to watch, is it? He's not into it. So
no, he's not into it at all. So for like 6 weeks at a time, we just didn't see each other. He'd be in another room watching something. I'd be frantically trying to watch like maths at 11 o'clock at night. So we weren't even like going to bed at the same time, which is important when you're a couple, I think. So yeah, it's all of that stuff. And I'm doing this. I've just been telling you off air that I'm writing this show as well. I don't know when that's going to happen, but I'm guessing that's going to be about 11 o'clock at night when the children finally go to bed.
Yeah, this is it. You've got your big big solo shows coming up as well. Congratulations. Yes.
Thank you very much. Can people please come? Can you and Claire please come to the one at the stand?
I'm busy. I'm busy. When is it?
It's my birthday, the 20th of November.
Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely we'll come, yeah. So we should advertise it properly. So Kelly Rickard's called Free as a Bird.
Free as a bird, yeah, because women are free now.
Okay. Oh, it's because women are birds.
Yeah, clever, isn't it?
Good. 20th of November.
Yeah.
At the Stand in Newcastle.
It is. It's also on October the 10th at the Vault in Manchester.
Okay, it's part of the...
Women in Comedy Festival.
Women in Comedy Festival. Okay.
Slight imposter syndrome because the lineup for that festival is unbelievable. And I've just got this vision of people, I'll be halfway through the show, and people go, sorry, it was another Kelly we thought we were. Would you mind just stepping down, please?
No, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. But that's, another thing that you have to be getting on with, isn't it? Instead of scrutinising.
It's really boring for people hearing me go. And then the other thing is I really need to do this. Yeah. But I know I'm struggling with it. I'm struggling because I would have carried on doing this forever. Like, it's been our little weird baby, hasn't it?
I know, yeah. So when did we start? It was because we started in the pandemic, didn't we?
Sort it was of. In the 1890s. It feels like forever.
We'd started recording episodes about series 7 of the Australian version, but then E4 didn't show that. And we were sort of taken unawares by the fact that they were doing a new UK version. And we decided last minute, right, we're just going to start with this one.
Yes, I'd forgotten all that.
Yeah, so we'd recorded like 3 or 4 episodes, something like that. Because they'd already shown the Australian version in Australia. So we found it online and we were recording them ahead of time, thinking that was what we were going to get next in the UK. And then it wasn't. It was a new UK version with Bob and Amy and Adam and Tyre.
Oh, yeah. Adam and Tyre. Oh, because we thought, it'll start off with a tiny niche little following. We'll scrape some listeners. But then it was like PCB was willing to talk to us and Charlene would do an interview with us. And we were like, oh, hang on. This is growing some legs and arms and a head and... Oh, what's happening?
Yeah, having to watch it every night is a different thing. Because the reason I mentioned Nick not wanting to watch it, this was the reason I did sort of had the idea for the podcast, was because during the pandemic, like so many other people, Claire and I got sucked into Married at First Sight. But then when I would go back to work, people at work were talking about it as well. So if you've not got that thing in the house of, you know, it's not like, I mean, she's going to have to watch it now every night. I think she's going to feel the difference of sometimes when you're on week 11.
Yeah, it starts to feel a little bit like homework did at school. Mm-hmm. Like it's Sunday night and you haven't done your homework and you have to. It starts to feel a bit like that, doesn't it?
It can do. I mean, obviously, this is the very first episode of this.
Oh, yeah, we're just killing it for people. Like, it's going to get really boring and hard. Don't bother.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how it manages to with more episodes. I think there's too many in the Australian version. I think that goes on. I think we still won't have as many as that in this UK one.
No, it is. It's too long, the Australian one. But the one good thing about that is they start shoehorning in really random things like intimacy workshops and the wife swap week. And because of those extra weeks, it gives them a bit of leeway to try new stuff, doesn't it?
Yeah. They've got to fill time, basically.
Yeah.
It is fun, though. I'm looking forward to this new series. But it's going to be weird. It's going to be because we've, especially the last couple of series, it's just been us two. So it's going to be interesting because I kind of know what you're going to say about certain things, or something will happen on screen and I think, I wonder what Kelly's going to think about that. And
who argue with you?
You're all the same.
I don't think so. I don't think so. You get some women that actually like men. Jokes. No, I think I like my dad and Nick's okay. Yeah.
I think Claire and Sarah will be. I think Claire will definitely be happy arguing with me about how men are stupid.
Good.
Yeah. But are you going to miss all the online interaction?
No. Not even a tiny bit. not even, no. There was a point where I thought, oh, I could see myself getting into this because I quite like doing Instagram stories. And then the Gemma and Matt story hit in the last UK series. And I put a video on because I was so, for people who may have forgotten, Matt had the tattooed face and Gemma used a lot of sexual language. And he basically turned that traditional narrative of men being the abusers on its head and started suggesting that he was scared of her. And I put an Instagram story on, which it kind of spread fast with me going, I'm just really cross that he's done this. But then I mistakenly said, he's a big boy, he can run. And I should not have said that. Because it just, all of a sudden, I got up the next morning, there was all these people going, that's disgusting. You're saying that rape's got something to do with size. And I was like, oh, no, oh, no. And I think something in me switched off to social media at that point, and I just got a bit scared of it.
But yeah, when I did look at the response to that reel that you, or story that you put up, yeah, I could see that you mentioned women who, I know you jokingly said who like men, but there were women there who were not happy with what you'd said, and I thought
no, like, and they had a point. They had a point because like sexual abuse got nothing to do with size. But I was trying to be flippant and about the fact that he was using something that women have had to endure for centuries, and he twisted it to as a defense for him, and it just infuriated me. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, this is something I will really miss about doing the podcast with you. And that is, even though on the surface of it, it's a frothy, light reality TV show, it has led to some amazing discussions that we've had together and with people online and with Mel and PCB and Charlene. That side of it has been phenomenal. And I think it really, like, the show really sort of fast forwards people's understanding of certain things like gaslighting. That would be a word a few years ago that maybe a handful of people were using, but then by the end of one series of Married at First Sight, everybody's coining the term and using it.
Yeah, it definitely highlights some bigger issues, which is why I think everyone who watches it ends up getting sucked in, because there's the superficial relationship thing of where you think, oh, they don't seem well suited. He's being a dick. She's being obnoxious, whatever the situation is. And you want to see how it develops. And then, yeah, underneath that, there's the bigger issues of like body image, you know, coercive control, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, people obviously project some of their own relationship histories onto these things. So it does lead to bigger discussions, which is why it's an interesting program. I mean, I've not watched Love Island. I think I saw 2 minutes of it at some point, and I just thought there wasn't anything compelling that I thought, where if there was a pandemic and that had been on instead, that I would have got sucked into that, because there wasn't the same compelling kind of underlying issues.
Yeah. And there's been loads. I mean, I'm just thinking of the last Australian series. It's just people's reaction to cheating. So Jesse's wife, forgotten her name. What was
Claire,
it?
Claire
kissed Adam after Jesse had been absolutely horrific to her all honeymoon. But then his response was as if she'd betrayed him, had had a sort of lifelong love affair behind his back. It divided people on social media, because you had people going, she has cheated, she's awful, she's horrendous. And then you had other people going, Jesse, have a little word with yourself, it was a kiss.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it does bring up loads of issues. It's very interesting to talk about it.
Yeah, it's just a big commitment. That's the thing. So, all right, moving away from us complaining about how difficult our lives are, which is a shame, because I do love a good whinge.
You're good at it.
Thank you. Yeah. What have been some of your favourite bits of the programme? Because we've watched, we've had two UK series, and did we do like two Australian ones, I think?
Well, one of my favourite moments was in the most recent Australian series, and it was Evelyn and Rupert in the bath.
Yeah, I knew you'd say that.
Honestly, it made me laugh so hard for so long. I was chuckling about it for days, because she was, and it's all objective, isn't it? Who's attractive and who isn't? But I think Evelyn has got that sort of beauty where everyone goes, yeah, she's out of this world. She's like otherworldly beautiful. And then Rupert was a lovely looking lad, but he just was a bit insecure. And then they were put in the bath together with rose petals. And he just went this shade of puce, I think you would call it. And he was trying to blame it on how hot the bath was, where he was just clearly so unbelievably turned on, but also horrified. And God knows what was going through his mind and his body altogether, but it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen on TV.
I thought you might say as well his the vows, where he was incoherent.
Oh yeah, that's my second ever favourite moment, where he just couldn't get his words out.
I'm pretty sure you won't know this because you won't have been online and
a girl. You won't know this.
Do you know who Evelyn's dating now?
I do.
Oh, you do?
Nice, Duncan. But Tim Duncan.
Yeah. He's quite well suited.
Oh God, you can have him. He's one of them, isn't he? I'm sure he's lovely, but where's the crack?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. They did the wife swap thing together, and I remember they did a photo shoot of him dressed up, and he had all the the Magi Mix and all that, and an apron on, and she was throwing flour on him and things. So I don't know. To me, that's not that fun. But
I know both of us are just like, okay, that's what floats your boat. What's been your favourite moment?
The Kwame thing from last year, where he's. Everyone was, sort of avoiding the issue. And Kwame said, the irony to be consoled by the man who's stealing your woman and then just having a sip of wine.
That was amazing. That was so good. I thought you were going to say just generally Kwame.
The park bench. Yeah.
The park bench, but also not making any sense. He'd start a sentence, you'd think, I know where this is going. And then by the end of the sentence, you're like, no, I don't actually.
I enjoyed Thomas and Adrian from last year. Thomas is funny.
Very funny. Adrian's funny too. I just think he didn't get so much of a chance to show it because of Thomas.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, because we spoke to Adrian, didn't we? And he's more fun than I guess he got chance to portray, because Thomas was having a strop and storming off every 20 minutes. But in between the 20 minutes, he was quite fun. Yeah. I liked, all the ones that are springing to mind are ones from last year now, that I liked Lara's face when Richie was on the back of that carriage with her and he was like getting close and all like cuddly with her.
Amazing. That was such a good moment. Names escape me. Who was the vegan and the one who loved eggs?
Zoe and Jenna.
Zoe and Jenna. Oh, I loved them. I loved Zoe.
Yeah, she was funny. She funny was as well. Yeah, I think that says a lot. If you're funny for me, you can get away with a lot.
We would say that because we were comedians, so we're just that's important. I think normal people are just like, actually, could you just be kind? I'm not bothered about the punchline. Just do the dishes because it's your turn.
Which bits have made you angriest? Because that's another thing that happens quite frequently with this program.
So there was the Matt and Gemma one, definitely. Mm-hmm. How he spun that, I was furious. Also, the last series of the Australian one, where there was the little man who, I don't know how to describe him. He sort of had an elf-like quality, and he was ever so moody, and his girlfriend didn't know where she stood with him. And he said to his wife, if you'd have been more attractive on your wedding day, I wouldn't be so confused now. It's your fault, basically. Yeah. What was his name?
His name was Shannon, and she was Caitlin.
God, you're so good at the names, you weirdo.
I'm surprising myself, actually, yeah.
He made me so angry.
Yeah, that's right. He said that if she'd have been more attractive, he wouldn't be thinking about his ex.
That's it. That was it.
Yeah, that was bad. Yes, we said at the time, I think that's the worst thing I've heard on the programme. you know, I think that's probably going to be hard to beat. What made me angry? Oh, you know, I think it was the last Australian series. Do you remember Taylor?
Taylor?
Either the screen is frozen or you don't.
Oh, Taylor, who, long blonde hair.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
She was in with the guy, I can't remember his name, but she made him sleep on the windowsill.
Oh, God, what was his name?
Oh. See, this is the problem with it. You spend
so some... interesting, the listeners, just like 10 seconds of silence while we try and remember the names of these people.
I don't know. They're probably glad of it, to be honest.
The best 10 seconds of the podcast.
Yeah. No, but just everything she said, and whenever she was criticised, she would just go, no, that's not true. No, that's just not true. It's like, we've got no insight that you're being in the slightest bit high maintenance or whatever, you know, she was doing in that moment. And then, she was really annoying, although she did make that great entrance at the dinner party where they edited it so well.
Just the clip-clop of the heels and this darkened silhouette approaching the table was so good. I tell you what else made me really angry was Dan, villainous Dan. Last series, because he played her so well. He said everything she wanted to hear until whatever happened, he lost interest in her. And then it was that typical thing of once she'd slept with him, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It was, I think you'd picked up on it early on that there was something, because he seemed too good to be true, really.
Gotta watch those ones.
Yeah, he was bad. He was bad, because that was such a quick turnaround.
Yeah.
Once they slept together.
And it was so awful, even more so for her, because it was such a big deal for her entering the programme anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because her family weren't on board with it, and she was worried about what the whole of her sort of community were going to think.
Yeah, she took a big risk, Sandy, going in there, and then it didn't work out for her. And it wasn't just... it didn't work out. We're not really compatible. It was like you felt like he'd used her a bit.
He had.
Yeah. Right. Do you want to see what your present is? I may as well show you.
I do, but like I didn't. I thought we're maybe going to go for a coffee and we could give them in person.
Well, we can. We can. Let me show you, and then I can bring it in person. We're not going for a coffee. We're done now.
Shut up! We are going for a coffee.
Yeah. All right. We'll go. We'll go for a coffee. So this is from Moonpig. Who, if anyone from Moonpig is listening, we do still need a sponsor. So Maths Hysteria on any platform.
Is that what this is about?
It's backwards on your screen. It says someone very special, and then
no, it doesn't. It's not backwards.
Oh, okay. This is a mug with our logo on.
Oh.
Mugs are cheap and easy to produce. So this is the old logo. Which,
oh, shut up, yeah.
Which I've taken the USB with all those images and thrown that in the bin. And then I've got on the back, it says, men just aren't...
Bright.
Because you would say men just aren't that bright probably two or three times in episodes. I've heard that a lot during the course of my editing.
That's amazing. Thank you so much.
Oh,
thank
you're welcome. You're welcome.
I love it.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, yeah, I thought, I'm going to miss you. Yeah.
I'm going to miss you. I'm now looking around my mother's dressing table for something I can pass off as a present for you. Oh, I am really going to miss you, and I'm going to miss this.
Yeah. But, you know, it's all right. We can still, I mean, I assume you're still going to watch Married at First Sight every night religiously. And
I'm literally just going to watch your memes and treat that as if I've seen the entire episode.
Yeah, you'll get it. It's a good good recap. I mean, I think it can be some. You'll be able to sum it up just by what's on the side of the mug.
Yeah, I'd still stand by it. I would get that on a T-shirt as well.
Well, yeah, thank you. It's been genuinely. I know you've said a couple of times, like you said it at the beginning, that all the work that I do and everything. But honestly, it's I do all the tweeting and the tech side of things, but. He definitely added a huge thing to the show, because like for, you know, that discussion about Gemma and Matt, or that we don't argue, do we? We have
no.
we have good discussions about what's going on in those relationships, or even something like, you know, Mel's only come on the show because she was interested in the stuff that you were saying, and she's someone who's careful about what she does because she's had some social media backlash, quite unfairly, I think, but so she's careful about what she does, but she came to us because of the stuff that you were saying. So, you know, you've added a lot to the show. So thank you, and thanks for your hard work.
Everything else. I literally just brought me, and then you did everything. But yeah, wow. It wouldn't have happened otherwise. It wouldn't, because I don't have the wherewithal or the patience with the technical side of things. And I got really scared of social media. So that was you. And now you're going to do 2 episodes a week. So it's just going to grow.
Yeah, hopefully. Every Tuesday, every Friday for the listeners who should. And you. You can.
Yeah. I'm going to listen, but I'm going to be cross. I know I am. Even if it's like, it's really, really good. Well, it is going to be really good. And even if I agree with what people are saying, it's going to annoy me that I'm not on there agreeing.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Hopefully not the final time we talk to you, but
thank you. Thank you. Bye, everyone. Thank you for listening.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at Aura.com/safety. That's AURA.com/safety.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.